Good morning. Please have a seat. My name is Roger Kent. I am not normally the minister here. It is my privilege to lead worship today. Michael will be back next week, and next week is when we resume our regular service hours, which is a chapel service at 9:30 and regular service at 10:30 here at the church. I see still the remnants of summer dress and shirts and clothes, which is wonderful because I don't know that we've had a miserable summer at all. I think it's been quite wonderful, and it continues as it goes into fall. Just give everybody a chance to pop in here after shaking hands. If any of you are new here to the church, just visiting for this week or for the last couple of weeks, please stay afterwards so that we can get to know you, introduce yourself. We would dearly like to know you and to say hello. We have lemonade after service today. Now, if we all turn our attention to the order of worship, the acknowledgement of place welcomes us. And if you join me in reading it, for thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. We light the Christ candle, aware that He is with us, that God is with us, and the Spirit lives. The peace candle is lit because of our yearning for peace worldwide, for peace nationally, for peace in family units. And we light this peacekeeper's candle to recognize the efforts made by all of those first responders, by the members of our armed forces, anybody whom we send into danger's way to establish and maintain peace. Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
And now join with me, please, in the opening prayer. Outside, the stores are open. Business is being done. But we are here. This is God's day. Here is where we belong, united in God through His Son, Jesus. Speak, Master, your servants are listening. Amen. First hymn today is In Voices United, number 595. We are pilgrims, and it will also be on the screens.
Thank you. James 1, 17 to 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all his created. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God's desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So ends the reading.
Thank you, Gail. It's good to have friends who are flexible and come up when it's not the right time. My mistake. Well read. So we have a sung refrain for Psalm 45, which is found on page 769 in your Voices United and will be on the screens. My heart overflows with a noble theme. I utter the song I have made for the king, my tongue like the pen of a ready scribe.
You are the fairest, the most handsome. God endows your speech with grace. God has blessed you forever.
God has blessed you.
Your sword on your thigh, O hero, in splendor and majesty.
In your majesty,
ride on to conquer in the cause of truth and justice. Let your right hand teach by awesome deeds, arrows sharp in the heart of royal enemies.
The nation
shall fall at your feet,
your divine throne endures forever.
Your royal scepter is righteousness. You love right and hate what is wrong.
Your God has anointed you with more oil of gladness than all your peers.
All your garments are fragrant with myrrh, aloes, and cassia.
Out of the ivory palaces, string music makes you glad.
So, it is that time when I call upon the children. I see none over there. I see one over here. And I see one over here. So, gals, come on up. We're going to have a chat.
Now. All right.
Are you the only children? I don't know. How many children are here? Look, you're not the only ones. You guys are the ones, though, that I really wanted to talk to. I really did. So, I have a few questions for you, and it's only because I'm old. Somebody over there? Oh. It's only because I'm old. I need to remember. Okay? Okay, so, where is God? In heaven. Okay? Where's heaven? It's in the sky? You know, there's no right answer or wrong answer, I don't think, here. Where else could heaven be? Everywhere. How many times in your life, all that time, have you talked to God? I'm going to share a little story with you about what I remember of being in England. I was in London, England. I was maybe 5 or 4 years old. Let's see how old you guys are. How old are you? 7? 5. Right there. Okay. I was maybe 5 years old. I was sitting on a hardwood floor by my bed, and I was playing with my brothers. You know, I have 3 brothers. And my mother came in, and she said, it's time for bed. And what that meant was that we went and we washed our hands and we brushed our teeth, and we went straight to our bed. But we didn't jump right in. We typically would kneel at the side of the bed, and we put our elbows, I put my elbows right firmly on the mattress and supported my chin because otherwise my head would fall off. And my mother would always tell me, your head will stay up without your hands. But the reason why we're kneeling beside the bed was to have a talk with God. Because daytimes are so busy. They're so busy from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed that you hardly have a chance to stop and have a talk. So at night, we would talk to God. We would pray. And about 4 weeks ago from today, I was here, and I remember saying to the children that were here, you were here, that we were going to say a prayer. And we were going to say a prayer. You could either hold your hands out like this, or you could hold your hands like this. And this is what reminded me of it, because way, way back when I was a little boy, I was told what this was and what this was. When my father explained to me that if you hold your hands like this and you're praying, you're looking for God to fill your hands with love and care so that when you wash your face, you wash it over yourself. Now, that's really quite a romantic thought. You guys don't need to know what romantic means yet. The other way, holding your hands up like this, was almost looking like a church steeple. Put your hands like that. See what I mean? You know, church steeple has that point, right? And this, I always, because I'm a superhero nut, I love superheroes, I always think of Thor. And Thor with his mighty hammer. And everything goes up, straight up from here. So all of your words go straight up to the sky, which is where heaven is, that you said. It could be anywhere. But I thought heaven was in the sky too. So when we pray like this, or we pray like this. Now, if you don't say your prayers at night, that's okay. But you need to take advantage of those quiet times when hardly anything is going on. Just to have a little check-in. You need to check in with God. You need to make sure that God is there with you and helping you make all of the right decisions. Because what happens next week? What was that? Is that a yay? School starts? And you're going to school for the very first time? No? You were there last year? going to kindergarten, it's going to be an awesome time for you guys, a time of discovery and a time of exploring. It's going to be wonderful. You need to make sure that you're walking and you keep your one of your best friends, God, with you at all times. So have chats whenever you can. Okay? Let's say a little prayer. Now, I'm going to hold my hands like this. You can hold your hands however you wish. Just repeat after me. Dearest God, help me to think of you often.
Help me to think of you often.
When days get so busy that I don't have time, help me remember at night. Days get so busy that I don't have time, help me remember at night. Keep me safe. Amen. Now, we have a hymn that I kind of like, and I know that a lot of the children like it. It's Draw the Circle Wide, I think. And it's a very good one. So let's stand up and ask everybody to stand up and draw the circle wide. Thank you for your cooperation. All right, I think there's activities. I know that. Beautiful. And Jacob and Sophia are going as well. Okay, go have fun.
The second reading this morning starts at Mark 7, 1 through 8. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have to let go of the commands of God are holding on to human traditions. And then at 14 through 15, again Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." And at 21 to 23, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Here endeth the second reading.
Trust in their gold. Some have only their Savior, whose faithfulness never grows old. All that we have and all that we offer comes from a heart both frightened.
I found a gospel reading for today to be fairly dismal, especially where it says that from your heart comes all of the evil and malice and. David read it very well. It just kept going on and on and on. And where I saw that they were broken up verse by verse and they picked just segments from Mark, I wanted to know what was between. It couldn't just be this poor. It couldn't just be this dismal. So I had a look. And the first thing I did was I went to my computer and zapped into the computer asking it to give me Mark 7 verses 16 through 20. And all I got on the computer, and you might want to do it yourselves, was this explanation of where the missing verses from the Bible went. Now, I didn't know about this. This is like a little bit of intrigue. Missing verses from the Bible. I read into it, and it talked about how, well, the Bible's old, so the pages, they can fall apart. Didn't think about it so much, so I went into my Good News Bible. And where verse 16 stated, there is nothing that goes into a person from outside which can make him ritually unclean. Verse 17, which we didn't read, states, when he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples asked him to explain this. He said, you are no more intelligent than the others. Don't you understand? Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can really make him unclean. And it said, because it does not go into his heart, but only into his stomach. That makes everything clear. Perfect. I was here for 3 weeks in late July and the first 2 weeks of August, and I tried to make each and every week a little bit different, building blocks. And when I read ahead to September 2nd, to today's readings, I thought, wow, that's great. Isn't it wonderful? Because in the readings, it says, those are human traditions. And let go of human traditions. But I don't want to sound the same as I did back then. I want to talk to you about something a little bit different. We finished off with a video, and the video was about some United Churches in Ontario who sent a message to Premier Bob Ford. And boy, what a courageous message it was. But the message was sent by the ministers. The ministers all got together and said, let's do this. And they sent the message. And there's a difference between a minister empowered, and that's his vocation, and normal folk, us. There's a difference. Only some of us have the courage to stand up and empty our soul so that others can see it and hopefully glean, and hopefully we're doing the right thing. But for all of us as individuals to make change, to do what we're asked to do by God is difficult. From the reading in James, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, nothing outside a person can defile them. That's saying that we can walk amongst wrongdoing and wrongdoers, and we cannot be harmed unless we embrace some of the customs or ways. So how we deal with, and when I look into our congregation, I can see all of the people that had their vocations, had their work, and have their work in money. I can see all of the people that have their work, had their work in defense, in trades, in care of others. Everything is equal in this world, and all of this is human activity. All of this is worldly activity. So I'm not disparaging. I'm not going to cast any dispersions on any of it. We can walk amongst burning flames. It's one of our hymns. And we shall not be harmed. God is here. He's in us. He's in our soul. So we have that armor. Nothing that we deal with, nothing that we come in contact with is going to hurt us as long as we know and we stay steadfast in that knowledge. Jesus said, these people humor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, how many of us have ever tried to explain something fervently to somebody, had something that was just so passionate in our hearts, and all we get back is lip service. I think we all know what that feels like. We all know what it means. And we know that there is no achieving to be had here. We're not going to gain any ground here. But we, as a people, aren't pure. We, as a people, are not without fault of our own. God is in our soul, yes. God's in our hearts, yes. But we're not pure. We make mistakes. I was thinking, how do I make it different? How do I talk to my friends in the congregation and make it different? And I had to go back to books that I've been given throughout the years. And this is a little book by Ralph Milton, and it's called God for Beginners. And I got this book in 1998, and I typically just flick through these books when I'm thinking about a talk, and I came across this. The days of the squeaky clean Christian who never did anything wrong and never said a nasty word are thankfully gone. Not that there ever was such a thing. Christians have always been just as human as everyone else. But in too many instances, Christians equated Christianity with keeping up appearances. They equated Christianity with trying to pretend that you were morally and spiritually superior. Now I think those inside and outside the churches have recognized that God doesn't pay much attention to appearances. God is concerned about what we think about and what we feel and how we act. Discipleship. Jesus said, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." What human traditions? I think we can all probably understand that this metaphor is referring to the fact that, as I was telling the children, they wake up in the morning and their lives are busy. And they're busy all day long until they hit the hay. And when they go to bed, if they take it with them, they have a fitful rest. We do. I know that we do. You work for management or for a company or for the government. Wrong. This is absolutely incorrect. You work for yourself in order to provide for your family. You work so that there may be a paycheck, so that you may afford all of those things that are necessary to have comfort. When this isn't fun anymore, I'm done. How many of us have heard that from a fellow worker? When I'm not having fun anymore, I'm quitting. That's it, I'm done. That can happen. But all of us are faced with the reality that it may not be fun, but I got to darn well stick to it until I find something that is fun, because I got to pay the bills. Human activity. People each have a value. In Wall Street, the value is assessed in dollars. To many companies, your value is given a dollar value. Think about that. Absolutely incorrect. Every person is valued as one of God's family and worth my effort, worth your effort. We are Christians. We want to live as Christians and work as Christians. Everyone has to take up the human mantle, yes. Everyone is going to have to work in order to provide, of course. But let's try to do it visibly, noticeably, and in our hearts and our souls only as Christians. It's not what we do, it's who we are inside. We must be active and outwardly live what we are inside. There's a moral compass. We will not do what we know to be wrong. I think all of us have that moral compass. We will not listen to others who we know to be wrong or hollow. And I went to another book. And this book, I think I got around 2005. It's called Communion with God. It's written by Neil Donald Walsh. And although many of these books are written, I think, by Gospel Hall Baptists, who are really, like, seriously in the Baptist stream, there's so much that you can read from these books that you can take to heart. I wouldn't discourage anybody from digging right into them. If they shout at you and scream at you, exhort you, and entice you to find God outside of yourself, in their truth, in their book, in their way, in their place, then watch out. It's an illusion. If they quietly invite you to find God inside of yourself, if they tell you that you and I are one, and that you do not need their truth, their book, their way, or their place, then you have found a master. If only because you have been led to the master who dwells deep inside of you. I've asked myself how we find individual courage to take action in today's world, strictly because of who we are. We're Christians. How do we find that courage? We find that courage by listening and reading and sharing. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." There's not much more to be said. James, in his reading, said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." I'll leave you with a poem.
Written by Ruth Bell Graham. It isn't your gold or silver, your talents, great and small, your voice or your gift of drawing, or the crowd you go with at all. No, it isn't the things you have dear, or the things you like to do. The master is searching deeper. He seeks not yours, but you.
Thank you, Greg. And now we have room and time for our announcements, sharing the life of the community. Are there any announcements on this Sunday prior to Labor Day? Going once? Going twice and sold.
I've got one there for you, Roger.
Oh, well, thank you, Ron.
Next week, we go back to the regular time schedule, so it's 9:30 in chapel, 10:30 here for regular service.
All righty. Is there a moment for mission? Well, certainly there is.
Spiritual and practical care in the city. Our gifts for mission and service support Indigenous ministries in downtown Toronto. The urban Aboriginal population in Canada has increased dramatically in recent years, with the overwhelming majority of the country's 1.2 million Indigenous people living off-reserve. Toronto Urban Native Ministry has a heart for Indigenous people living on the margins of city life. Founded in 1996, it reaches out to Aboriginal people in precarious life situations, on the streets and in prisons, shelters, hostels, and hospitals. An ecumenical organization that integrates Christian and Aboriginal spirituality, Toronto Urban Native Ministry provides counseling and spiritual care, as well as referrals to community services. Working out of Council Fire Native Cultural Center, it offers everything from spiritual mentorship to sharing circles for 60 Scoop survivors. Indigenous people who were taken from their families and placed in predominantly white foster homes between the 1960s and 1980s. Worship services are held every Sunday morning and offer an opportunity for Aboriginal Christian worship. This is a time of storytelling, prayer, and sharing of a meal or activity led by an Indigenous Anglican priest or United Church of Canada minister. Chris Harper describes Sunday mornings at Council Fire as wonderfully unique. Individuals come with such amazing, wonderful, colorful life experiences. The services are diverse and responsive rather than liturgically sequential. Every Sunday is an adventure. Sacred gatherings like these offer connection and healing while honoring the creator of all the creation. For urban Indigenous people living off reserve, they fill a vital need for spiritual and cultural community. If mission and service is giving is already a part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life and faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Our offering will now be taken. God, accept these, our gifts, given today or through PAR, and put them to your work in your name. Amen. Thank you. Well, I must confess I've been away from here for 3 weeks, being on vacation. And I did what everybody wants to do on vacation. I didn't listen to the news. Not at all. Not once. Makes me fairly ignorant at this point in time, but it's time for the prayers of the people. And given that it's time for prayers of the people and the fact that I haven't listened for the news in the last 3 weeks, there may be issues, there may be controversial things happening in the world that we want to yell out about. There may be devastation, there may be plunder and plight that we want to make note of to God. So please, fill it in for me. Let's bow our heads. Precious God, we are here today. We are here in spite of the open shops and the business that's going on outside of these doors. We're here for good reason. We're here because we love you, because we are Christians. We work, we toil, we live our days. And we have energy to help others. People who are ill, people who are starving and needing our help, people around the world in areas of disaster, such as forest fires. We're here in Nova Scotia, but we can reach out through our Christian brothers and sisters. We are reaching out and we are helping. And we need your help. We need you to be ever with us. Listen to the hearts of those present here today, God. Listen to them hear the other areas in which we're asking you to be stronger, to be more caring. God, you've been with us through this entire summer. Your son Jesus walking with us, the Spirit ever present in our parties and our get-togethers with family, with friends. It's been a wonderful summer. You've put on an awesome display for us this summer. We thank you. We thank you for those opportunities to enjoy, to share love, share friendship and fellowship. We look forward to it. We look forward to the fall, the colors, your displays. We will take note. We will take it to heart because we know that in the heart and in the soul is where you abide with us. We know that you will be with us always. And we'll say now the prayer that your son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now we have a hymn, More Voices, number 135, called By Earth and Sky, and the words will be up on the monitors. Thank you. May God be with each and every one of you. May he live in your soul and cause you to show it to everyone you meet.